Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Fourth and goal. Stroud throws. Caught. Touchdown. Stephon Diggs. His second of the game. And Ryans rolls the dice and it pays off.
Well, there were some highlights with Stephon Diggs as a Houston Texan, but his time in Houston might be, at least on the field, over. He tore his ACL in Sunday's victory over the Indianapolis Colts and will miss the rest of the year. The Texans traded for Stephon Diggs on April 3rd. They sent the Bills a 2025 second-round pick. They got also a fifth-round exchanged in this deal, along with a sixth-round pick that they used in this year's draft. So it seems, especially after Stephon Diggs' contract was renegotiated, that his time with the Houston Texans is done. And real easy question for you guys. Was the trade a success?
I feel like I have to say yes.
Conceptually, it was a success.
Yes. He was a good teammate. He did not cause any problems. He was a good contributor when he was on the field. The second-round pick that you gave up is going to be in the 20s right now because the Minnesota Vikings are actually good. So I would say yes. It's a good trade, but it hurts. Because, like, you can't predict injury.
I don't think it's a success. He played seven games. It's not a success.
Did he get you further
playoffs? It's not, yeah, exactly. It's not Diggs' fault. It's not Caserio's fault, but it's not a success.
And since you renegotiated the deal, you only got him for a rental. Now, there's a chance that they could theoretically re-sign him this offseason at a discount, given that he's coming off of a torn ACL.
Okay, that leaves the door open. Maybe it could be a success.
There's a chance at unfinished business. I would say right now, though, it's a failure because of what you said, Sean. Only seven games. None of those games were in the playoffs. Nothing against the Detroit Lions that coming Sunday night football game. Not against the Ravens. Not against the Chiefs. It's unfortunate. It's not the Texans' fault in this situation, but not only is it a failure because he played just seven games, it created unrealistic hype going into the year that we had for this Texans offense, which has not come anywhere close to meeting it. That's what sucks the most. That's why this trade was a failure, at least until they figure out a way to potentially bring him back, which I think the door is open for. I do not think he has necessarily played his last down for the Houston Texans, but it does feel like at this moment in time right now on Tuesday, October 29th, 2024 at 1:05 p.m. that this trade is a failure.
Yeah, the expectations definitely were, like, that's really when the Texans' expectations went through the roof.
Yes.
For sure. Like, they went to another level about this offense because right before, I remember you and I and Sean talking about they don't need to trade for a wide receiver. They should have enough. And then they went and traded for a wide receiver. And genuinely, the offense this year has been a total dud for most of the season. So having Diggs puts you on that level. But I just struggle to say it's a full failure because it's an injury. Like, it's not like this is a guy you had to cut. Like, we saw Chase Claypool a couple years ago get traded for a second-round pick and get cut in that next offseason. That's a failure. This is something that's totally out of your control. And why, I guess I want to live in the gray here. I know that's not what the question is, so it doesn't really, like, leave room for that. I don't want to call it a failure, but
tricky question.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, because it's not the Texans' fault, but hey, this happened, and you renegotiated his contract, so it's up after the year.
Don't post the Deontay Johnson segment because he's not going to be a Houston Texan because he's a Baltimore Raven.
Ravens traded for him.
Yes.
They heard our segment.
They heard our segment. We're like, yeah, can't let the Texans do that.
Wait, he's Paul Gallant size? give me a call. That means he's way bigger than Zay Flowers.
But this is – but look, I struggle with this one because it's a fair question. But if it's a scale, I tip towards success.
Text in from the 409. That's the first topic out of this news y'all want to go with? Yeah, absolutely, clickbaity, and also annoying as hell, saying screw how it affects the football. Let's talk about the politics. What? First off, politics? What are you talking about?
This actually bumped Colonel Red's polling numbers.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
When Diggs went down. You know.
First off, the politics? What are you talking about? Second, yes, it's bad. Do we even need to dive into whether or not this affects the Texans offense? Yeah, it fucking affects the Texans offense. No crap, okay? This text annoys me. I'm throwing it out there because it's a tricky question to answer, and I'm not even mad at the Houston Texans here. I'm just saying, you traded a second-round pick for him, okay? And he's not under contract next year, and I guess he's, what, a $20 million salary cap charge against you this year, too, because of the renegotiated deal? So, I mean, he only played seven games for you. It felt like he was just about to unlock the next level of a quarterback wide receiver relationship with CJ Stroud. I felt like that play that they improvised where he catches the out and up and he runs 30 yards after the catch for a 49-yard gain. To me, I thought that was about to open things up potentially between these two.
And
here we are now.
Honestly, I do think, and part of this where I do consider it a failure is the renegotiation is now puts you in a tough spot where if you just would have left the contract as is, and worked around your cap space in other ways, then you would have had Stephon Diggs under contract for next year. We wouldn't be talking about if they re-signed him. You would say, okay, that sucks. They had him for seven games. We saw the connection starting to grow. At least in 2025, Stephon Diggs will be back out there with Tank Dell and Nico Collins and CJ Stroud. Instead, he's just a free agent. Honestly, would it shock you if Nick Caserio added a deal, like tried to redo his deal right now? Like they did with Joe Mixon and these guys. Because we see him be aggressive all the time.
Right after a torn ACL, that's crazy.
I know, it'd be crazy.
That's crazy.
But just being like, hey, like, you know, non-guaranteed contract.
Like an ambulance chaser?
But like...
yeah, Nightcrawler starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
Predatory loan. get him out of interest rate.
From Kendrick Perkins or something like that?
Oh, hey.
That's what? So awkward.
What?
No, the whole story is just awkward.
And I like Perk too. Yeah, but I mean, it's a weird story.
Yeah, no, I mean, if they do... The way you phrase it, chef's kiss, Paul. That's really great stuff. Is it a failure? Because, well, it is like
we beat Jeremy Branham to this topic.
Yeah, you can't call it a success. You like cannot call it successful. No. And it's not really Diggs' fault. I think Diggs. I mean, we talked about it last week before the Colts game. I thought that Diggs was giving you basically exactly what you brought him in to do. He was on pace to hit all the numbers. Honestly, that we didn't think he could reach before the season. He was on pace for that. And he gets hurt. And again, he didn't play poorly. It's not something where you bring up the Chase Claypool trade, Joe. And that's something where, you know, it's only been like 2 years, right? 1 year since that trade. And we're already like, oh, missed by Ryan Poles. This is not going to be one where we go missed by Nick Caserio with this trade. I think we all understand it was a move that was kind of, I don't know, worth making, but it was a understandable move.
Now, if you want to make the argument that this trade's a bad trade, you can. I think you can say that because of when you made the deal, you traded at the worst possible time for a wide receiver. Look what's happened since. Davante Adams was traded for a fourth.
Yeah.
It's a conditional fourth-round pick. Amari Cooper was later than that. Deontay Johnson just got traded from the Panthers to the Ravens for swapping fifth and sixth round picks. You gave up a second round pick for Stephon Diggs. You got seven games out of him. All right, I'm in. It's a failure.
Yeah.
It's a bad trade. He only played seven of the 18 regular season games.
You have the benefit of hindsight here. But...
Yes.
And if they re-sign him, and I know it's a ACL injury to a receiver who is 29.
Turns 31 a month from today.
Okay, so he's 20. I was like, he's either 29 or 30. So a guy who you know, if he's on the Texans next season, will be a 30-year-old receiver. That is something where you don't know if he's going to come back the same guy. But if he does come back and he was the guy he was for the first seven games of the season for an entire year, then it's probably no longer a failure. I mean, some of that depends on what the Texans do next year. But it's something where Diggs, what he produced was not a failure. It's just that you only got seven games of production.
Led the team in receptions with 47, though Nico Collins
did
have a ton.
Yeah, all
these
come with a little bit of Collins was out.
496 yards, 10.6 yards per reception.
That's good.
Three touchdowns, 31 first downs. I think that was the important one there. Yeah. Did feel like this was C.J. Stroud's short route option.
Yes.
When things were in trouble and he couldn't get it downfield, he would turn to Stephon Diggs. And you got to wonder what these numbers could have been if the offensive line had been a little bit better to this point this year, because there really hasn't been a lot of chances for Stephon Diggs to get open downfield.
If the offensive line delivered on the hype that trading for Stephon Diggs created for this team, that this, like you said, that is an underrated point, that Stephon Diggs getting traded to this team ratcheted up not just the hype, but the hype for this offense, especially
100%
to a level that again they haven't delivered on in any game this season, except against the Patriots, but that doesn't count.
And for that reason, I will say it's a failure. But you want to weigh in on this, 713-780-3776. To call and to text, and you can join on YouTube as well, at ESPN Houston on Twitch, at ESPN 975. We're going to leave that on the table all show long. The Killer Bees are going to have to think of something else to talk about.
Yeah, there's your lead, Killer Bees.
You know, I
swiped it from you.
I thought to myself, what would Jeremy Branham do? You know,
how do I
get into primetime afternoons?
That might be a new segment.
WWJBD.
JBD.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the Texans, if they taught us anything, is we can take letters out of acronyms and make it still work.
Yes. Swarm. Yes, swarm.
we can leave the B out of there.
And for those who don't know,
The A in swarm stands for work ethic.
Yes.
Hey,
it does.
You guys are
ethic and work ethic.
It means special work ethic, relentless mindset.
I just don't get where the A comes from, but Texas swarm.
If we're going word for word, it should be swarm or swearm.
I like swarm.
I don't swarm care. Is fun. Special work ethic and relentless mindset. Swearm. Yeah, what are we, Canadians? Jeez. We're Calgarians. They are basically our sister city in Canada. Whatever. No one cares about that.
No. Let's go through the break. Let's talk about Calgary.
No Stephon Diggs talk. Calgary. Is it the Houston of Canada? 713-780-3776.
Let's bring up the Flames postseason history.
Yeah. Also, the Texans are playing on a short week for the first time in the C.J. Stroud and DeMeco Ryans era. Does that give you any pause about the Jets on Thursday? Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
That's Texans wide receiver Stephon Diggs talking about his thoughts after a victory over his old team, the Buffalo Bills. He was very quiet in the week, but he got the win at the end of the day and said, yeah, of course I was very emotional in this game. He also got in a pregame scuffle with Jair Alexander. So we've had some fun memories with Stephon Diggs this year. I will remember you.
The Cardi B story.
That is also true.
It is an eventful 7 weeks.
Just look up the Cardi B story.
I forgot about that.
I am not sure what is, what isn't, what's libel, what's not, what's reckless speculation. But Stephon Diggs, we do know that even if this man has a torn ACL, while he might not be able to win on a football field, he might be able to win in a little game that we like to call life.
Maybe. Not everyone would call it winning. He would, but.
I mean, theoretically, creating life.
Stealing other people's.
Is the most winning at
stealing
life.
Other people's ladies.
Well, I mean.
Just saying.
No one belongs to anyone.
Yeah.
That's true.
Joe, with
on,
your
true.
very sexist remarks.
No, 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 no.
1950s right Joe over here. You
shouldn't cheat on people. It's bad.
I mean, everything's a choice.
Stephon Diggs didn't cheat on anybody.
You're right. He didn't. Not Stephon Diggs' fault.
I'm French.
This is really the opinion of two married guys versus
one married guy versus two non-married guys.
Guess who has which opinion?
Yeah, I mean, if you love it, yeah, you should have put a ring on it.
It's true.
Us being like, the game's the game. Sorry, that's and what Joe being like, cheating is bad.
Yeah, that's what Beyonce would have sang at the concert if you know, she sang at the concert. Anyway, hey, some comments. Was this a failure for the Houston Texans? Y'all are on drugs if you think the Texans are going to re-sign Diggs, writes one texter. Another texter believes that there is a chance they bring him back. And a YouTube commenter, this is at Screw, would y'all resign him? I think we can get him on a deal, especially if we get it done quick. I don't know.
I mean,
I think if you're Stephon Diggs, you definitely want to get paid. You want another big contract. How much did he like working with CJ Stroud? That's really the big question. If that is, he liked it a lot, well, you might be able to lowball him.
I mean, if you're Stephon Diggs, like your best bet might be to, his goal is probably going to find a team that's going to give him a one-year contract that is worth a lot of money, so that he can prove to everyone he's healthy, has more football left, to try to get like one more three-year deal before he's 35. I mean, this unfortunately for Stephon Diggs, the player, is really unfortunate, because the Texans restructured this contract to say, hey, you're going to come in, you're going to be a good teammate, you're going to have success here, and then you're going to go off to your new team, and they're going to give you a fat contract. And that's not going to happen now. Like, unfortunately for him, he's going to have some tough decisions to make, but that could work out well for the Texans.
He turns 31 next month. I do think you should be hesitant to give him a contract. I feel like you have a conversation with him and you ask him, do you want to come back on a one-year prove-it deal? And honestly, I'm skeptical that he will want to do the prove-it deal. I think he'll want to come back. That's the problem. Is there a meeting in the middle? I think based off of what we've seen from Nick Caserio to this point, probably not.
Yeah, he'll have his options. He'll have either prove a deal or he'll have I'm going to win two football games next season and get the bag deal from like the Patriots or the Panthers. Like that's kind of probably where he's at, is either be on a good team and prove it or be on a really, really bad team and get paid.
Was the Stephon Diggs trade a failure? The other texter, this may be the spark Tank Dell needs to resurface. Diggs will re-sign. Again, the last part, I don't know. I don't think the door is entirely closed on it, but it does seem more unlikely than probable. I don't know if this is going to make Dell better. I feel like Dell has been a pretty big disappointment to this point. Is it due to Bobby Slowick? Is it due to the lack of time CJ Stroud has? I don't know, but we've seen a couple of drops in big spots. He just hasn't been the same guy. Is no Stephon Diggs going to make Tank Dell all of a sudden the same guy he used to be? I don't know.
I mean, you have to lean no with the way he's looked this year. He hasn't played good. I mean, and this week, I mean, he's going to be one-on-one with Sauce Gardner the whole game. Like, good luck, Tank. Like that's a tough matchup for him this weekend. So, But the other part that's unfortunate with this timing is that you have one game on Thursday without Nico Collins for Nick Caserio to make a judgment on this offense. If they need to trade for a wide receiver, like they have 72 hours of practice and games before you really have to make that decision.
Good trade for Davante Adams after the game.
That would be funny.
Just like jersey swap.
Just bring him in.
People are saying, like, I saw like Mike Williams come up as an option, hard pass.
No thanks.
Like, no thank you. I mean, if
his value's low after Aaron Rodgers threw him under the bus. There's tread marks on him still, but hey.
I mean, I'll
try. And he's out for 6 weeks because of it.
I'll give the Jets like $500,000.
They don't need a receiver. Get a lineman. I'm not.
I think they do. Honestly, I just don't. Tank Dell is
You have Nico Collins when he's back, and you kind of got to go with what you got. I think at this point, it's about getting offensive linemen. You're going to have someone learn the playbook in the middle of this season. Are you going to be able to pick it up quickly? I'm skeptical about that. Robert Woods is capable. I would rather have Noah Brown than Robert Woods, but John Metchie is there.
Hutchinson's been all right.
Hutchinson's made some plays. They're going to have to make it work with those guys. I think offensive line help is what they need more than anything, and I'm basing that off of what we're seeing with the Jets after they traded for Devontae Adams, who's considered a top 10 wide receiver. That hasn't helped the Jets at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the wide receiver position, if they don't get more from Tank Dell, I don't believe in Robert Woods. I would like to believe in John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson, but they make nice one or two plays a game, but I just don't know if it's enough to carry you with Nico Collins, even when he gets back. And at some point, they're just going to focus all their energy on Nico Collins.
Yeah, but you got CJ Stroud. I mean, this is where I was before the year. You have a really good quarterback. He should be able to make it work with whoever he's throwing to. I understand that, yeah, you want to make it easier for him in his second year, but look at what the Chiefs do now. The Chiefs are just like, all right, Mahomes, figure it out. We're going to load up on the defensive side of the ball and spend all our money there these days outside of with Travis Kelce.
But are we sure CJ Stroud, especially with this offensive line, are we sure CJ Stroud's good enough to make that work? Because the how they've been playing so far this season, how specifically the offense has been playing so far this season, it's been a lot of by the skinnier teeth wins where
and
they
give it to Joe Mixon.
They get just enough, and yes, you're riding Joe Mixon. Like, there is a little bit of this offense was kind of teetering on a knife's edge, and now you're taking away a good receiver off of it. I think you need something to change. You need to add something to this mix, whether it is an offensive lineman. But if it's the deadline day and they still don't have a deal for an offensive lineman, that's where it's like, then you can make the wide receiver. I don't know if you need one reactionary, like make a trade today for a receiver, but if you can't make one happen for a offensive lineman, I think you do kind of need to look at receiver.
I mean, in a perfect world, you get both. But you look at the best teams in the AFC, what have they done? The Baltimore Ravens got Diontae Johnson. The Kansas City Chiefs traded for DeAndre Hopkins. You know, the Buffalo Bills traded for Amari Cooper. Those are probably the three best teams in the AFC.
I get it, but you had more weapons than all of those teams. You know, I know that now you lose to Stephon Diggs and it hurts you a bit. But
yeah, one's out, yeah.
But, I mean, look, I feel like Stroud's good enough to get you by. You need a better offensive line. And the better offensive line is going to keep Joe Mixon healthy the rest of the year. The better offensive line is going to keep CJ Stroud healthy the rest of the year. Trading for another rental at wide receiver would be irresponsible when you already did one this year.
I agree with you, Paul. I just don't know if you actually can get a offensive lineman. I don't know if you can upgrade that offensive lineman.
I feel like it would be easier to...
Just in the middle of the season. That
fair.
I don't. These guys aren't the 90s Cowboys. It's just I don't know if you can do that in the middle of the season.
Text, I thought it was dumb. They made it a rental deal. When it happened, it's now a complete failure of a deal. Not complete. If you resign him, that's not a continuation of a trade deal. It's just a new deal. They traded a second-round pick for seven games of Diggs. That's the driver.
I got to really disagree with that because we can't be hypocrites here. This is how we literally talked about the Yusei Kikuchi trade for 2 months. Was if they resign Yusei Kikuchi, it does not matter the prospects they gave up. So
yeah,
the same rules have to apply for Stephon Diggs that... If those rules apply for Kikuchi, they also apply for Stephon Diggs.
Another Astros one, the 2022 World Series home run that Yordan Alvarez hit doesn't count in the Yordan Alvarez trade because he signed a new contract. That doesn't count.
That's how it works, man. Someone texted in Cooper Kupp.
Not happening.
From Zach.
They're a game out.
Yeah, Rams are back in the race. The NFC West is a dumpster fire. Seahawks are falling apart. 49ers are not really doing anything. The Cardinals are competent. That's still a division.
Honestly, if there's one, like if the Bears lose this weekend, I could see Keenan Allen being made available. Like if you wanted to trade like a seventh round pick.
Keenan Allen was who they wanted.
I know.
Before Diggs.
Like, and you could get a seventh round pick, probably sixth rounder at worst. I mean.
I feel like Poles is going to want more than that. Even if Keenan Allen is a husky, 260 pounds.
I don't know if I want it, but he probably doesn't deserve it.
And if I was a GM, I'd be calling Ryan Poles. He's giving a deal out or two. I mean, we talked about the Chase Claypool deal. Just see what he thinks.
From the 225, I think they bring in T. Higgins now. Get in the arms race in the AFC. Bengals never trade with anybody ever. That's really been their whole history. They just don't trade with people.
Also, the goal is to have a healthy wide receiver on the field, and he just magically had a quad injury that kept him out this week. Like, he's out all the time. If you're going to make a trade for a wide receiver, get someone who's on the field a lot. So I guess not Keenan Allen. But I would love T. Higgins, but I don't think they're going to do it. They're still right in the thick of this.
Junior Bronco says, we don't want your Chi-Town garbage, Joe.
I know. Junior Bronco doesn't like anything I say. So
actually,
okay.
Can we get Tarik Stevenson?
No, you don't want that.
Do need corner depth at this point.
Yeah.
Can he play wide receiver? He did help
him
through the Hail Mary.
How are his hands, Joe?
He tried to catch it.
Oh, yeah.
He was trying to catch it. He wasn't trying to deflect it.
I think so.
From Balakay on YouTube. I love CJ. I know the line isn't helping, but CJ isn't playing that well. He will take care of the ball and get yards, but it looks like he's not playing that well. I don't really agree with that. I do think the accuracy is down a little bit, and I do think he's been missing some guys. I saw at Texans Cat posted something where Stroud had Stephon Diggs open deep, and I wonder if he's checking for the quicker plays, the quicker routes getting open instead of waiting, being patient, looking through his progressives because of that offensive line. But I want help on the offensive line. I really feel like going after more receiver help, that's not going to get you much further than you're at right now, even if, as you guys have pointed out, they are certainly lacking in wide receiver depth. 713-780-3776 to call to text. Up next, we got the 10-minute drill. There was a Monday Night Football game last night. We have more injury updates for the Houston Texans as well, but Stephon Diggs, out for the year, torn ACL. Stick around, Golan and George.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Monday Night Football. It was a hard watch. It was still better than baseball, as all things are, but 26-18, the Pittsburgh Steelers are also 6-2 with a win over the New York Giants.
It's funny, like, how we talk about the Texans. I imagine in Pittsburgh, it's like the exact opposite. Like, they're just elated to be 6-2 with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson as their quarterback. They're probably just so happy right now. They're in first place. They're a top seed in the AFC. Sunshine and rainbows.
They're also, I would imagine, happy to go up against a New York Giants team that's doing what the Giants did on a two-point conversion attempt that some compared to that fake punt the Indianapolis Colts tried to run against the Patriots back in 2015. It looked doomed from the start. They had four guys lined up to one side of the field and a receiver. They were going to throw the ball to said receiver, except for the four guys who were in front of said receiver forgot to do anything, and a defender just got through, deflected it away. Daniel Jones got so mad he actually showed emotion afterwards. Here's the Manning cast watching this play unfold.
All right, what do we got here? Got a little swing.
So you're down by eight.
That did not go like we planned.
That's not the two-point play I would have called. I don't know about that one.
What are
we
doing?
I'm going to call a two-point play. I don't think that's the one I would have called.
There's some kind of confusion between Daboll and Jones right there, Eli. Not on the same page. I'm not sure that was supposed to be the read there.
You also heard from, in addition to the two Manning brothers, Bill Cowher on the call.
Oh, that's what that was. It's like, who is it talking?
Everyone thought that was dumb. The Giants are all pissy after the game as well. Look, they stink. They're 2-6. They think that they are better than the team that won all those games 2 years ago. They're fighting each other on the sidelines. It's not great.
He's gonna, they're gonna keep their coach though, and their GM. It's not great, but they're gonna just gonna keep it going. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones, not the problem. Oh, I guess Daniel Jones is the only problem.
Yeah,
he stinks. Oh my gosh,
he's not good. Also, stinky news, the Texans are without Stephon Diggs the rest of the year. He tore his ACL, in case you missed that. We've been talking about it most of the last hour. You want to weigh in on whether or not that Texans trade for Stephon Diggs, a second-round pick for Diggs, and what might be a one-year rental. Was it a failure? You can at 713-780-3776. That's how you call. That's how you text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Continuing to go around the NFL and on the Texans-Jets injury front with a short week. Game taking place on Thursday. Henry Toto, their linebacker, might return. Jarrett Patterson's in the concussion protocol, but supposedly is doing well, whatever that means. And Aaron Rodgers is limited with a knee and a hamstring issue. He is looking slow out there.
Slow and just feels like every time he hits, it just takes him longer, like gets hit, takes him longer and longer to get off the turf. There's no way he makes it through this season.
I agree that at the very least, he might just quit at some point.
Yeah.
Am I predicting an injury? I don't know about that, but he clearly doesn't look like the same player. He's having a tough time escaping the pocket. This is Patriots defensive end Devon Godchow talking about Aaron Rodgers after Sunday's win for the Pats.
The Keon talked about was that Rodgers didn't seem as mobile as he's been.
Yeah, I think he's struggling right now. You know, just a Hall of Fame quarterback like that, just a, you know, hate to see him go out that way, but, you know, always going to take a win against him, you know, build you on your resume. But, yeah, he definitely don't look the same. You just don't look like he can move back there. I can run him down and catch him. He don't look mobile at all, you know. So it was good for us, you know. We know we can get after him and attack him in the passing game too. So, you know, I'm glad to come out here with a win for sure.
Definitely good news for Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter that he is rather immobile right now.
Yeah, they should feast this. They should feast on Thursday. Even if the Texans offense struggles against the Jets defense like it did last year, the Texans defense should be able to hold them in check. Devontae Adams hasn't really done anything since he got there.
He did give a speech.
Didn't work.
But he did give it.
If it's like, if it doesn't work, does it matter?
He gave his heart and his soul and two games worth of being out there while the Jets couldn't do anything around him. Hashtag free Devontae Adams.
Remember after the first game where he was like, we're not playing hard enough? And everyone's like, dude, you just showed up here. The Jets, it's so... it's like... How are you still a Jets fan? Like how are people still passionate for this team?
I don't know, because like, I mean they had the longest playoff drought in professional sports.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not like they're a clown show, but it's like the Cowboys won 12 games each of the last 3 years while being a complete clown show. No, the Jets have not made the playoffs since Rex Ryan was the coach.
Nope.
Yeah.
Listen, I wish Jake Asman all the success in his YouTube venture. He is doing very well for what it's worth, but he is enabling addicts. He is enabling people who are addicted to paint thinner, because that is what the Jets are as a drug. We're talking just some low-quality Elmer's glue snorted up your nostrils. It's just...
It's what Charlie Day is doing on Always Sunny.
Yeah.
Just huffing.
It's a bad drug, and yet people are really hooked on it, and I've never understood how. I think it's really funny that all of a sudden, just now, you're seeing the most diehard Jets fans say, well, as long as Woody Johnson's the owner, this is not going to happen. It took you 20 effing years to figure that out? I was 13 when I learned that. 13! Unbelievable. And they're still going back to it, and they have this weird... optimism about them. That's what I really can't get.
Well, did you see this? I didn't see this, but I heard Todd McShay and Ryan Russillo talking about this on Ryan Russillo's podcast. Apparently on Sunday morning on ESPN, they did a, like, back to the beginning of the season, put up all the Jets' remaining games, win-loss, win-loss. And apparently Greedy went through and did 8-2 the rest of the season.
He's the biggest dork of all, and he gets shoved down. He gets shoved in front of us just nonstop on ESPN. You can't get away from him. Am I supposed to admire that he's a Jets fan? Like, I think as a person who is supposedly so knowledgeable about sports, this man is a fan of that team. I have no respect for you.
Mm.
It's like sticking with your husband when he's getting, you know, serviced by an intern when he's in the, I don't know, highest office. I'm supposed to respect you? Oh.
Stand by.
God.
Stand by your man. Like, I it's funny. I don't get it.
Hillary Clinton's like, what? How'd I catch a shot in the Jets segment?
That was my biggest indictment on her anyway. Hey, let's move to the side. Talk about more Houston Texans football. Don't you wish the Houston Texans would do what Chargers offensive lineman Bradley Bozeman did to Nathan Shepard after he got a little bit dirty with Justin Herbert. Here's what Bradley Bozeman had to say about absolutely messing up Nathan Shepard on the ground after he tried to remove Justin Herbert's limbs.
Yeah, you know, it was probably one of the dirtier plays I've ever seen, you know, especially with my own eyes. I think the ball's gone 2-3 seconds, and he's still getting rolling. He's on the ground. He's still getting rolling. And, you know, just protect your quarterback. You protect your quarterback no matter what. I think any of the offensive linemen that was in that position would have done the exact same thing. So, you know, had to get him off of him, and we did.
Like, I know last year when CJ Stroud got hit late, like, it became a big thing. We got Texans offensive linemen going back and forth with Branham. Last year, I was not so sure how I felt about that take. I'm shocked that more people are not upset with what the Texans offensive line is doing this year. CJ gets his ass kicked, and they don't even help him up off the ground, let alone do something like this, where they're going to attack a defensive lineman as he's murdering your quarterback. It's like they just stand there, do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I would like a lot more.
Yeah,
like, if Kenyon Green's going to suck this much at football, beat the crap out of somebody, please.
Bully someone. Like, throw a quarterback
at someone, okay?
Throw a corner into the stands.
Step on his junk like Ndamukong Suh.
Dylan Brooks got to shoot 3-for-16 his last year every game for the Memphis Grizzlies, but it's because he would have Ja Morant's back.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to be good, there is a line that you can, or a way to stay in the league. And yeah, no. When Bozeman goes, like, I think any offensive lineman would have done that. I was like, he hasn't watched a lot of Texas.
Not in Houston.
Game.
Too rah-rah.
I also was like not on Jeremy. I was like, this is nothing, Jeremy Branham. What are you talking about? But now that he kind of like pointed it out,
now every
time CJ Stroud gets hit hard and like no one helps him up, I'm always like, Jeremy might have been right.
They are paid handsomely to protect CJ Stroud and also paid handsomely as NFL players to do the closest thing to hurting people that you can legally.
But he's like, I don't get paid after the whistle.
During the whistle.
I don't get paid. I don't get paid to be security, all right?
I'm not saying they need to do it all the time. I just thought what Bradley Bozeman did was pretty cool.
It would be nice if when Bradley Bozeman does that, the first thing that in every Houston Texans mind is, we would never do that. Our offensive line would never do that.
Jim, is he under contract? Maybe that's for the Texans to trade for.
Trade for Bradley Bozeman.
Jim Harbaugh, still Jim Harbaugh. I don't know what he's talking about here. We could try to figure it out at the end if you want. But here is an analogy about olives and jars.
I always think of it like my dad's got this great analogy of the old olive jar. You know, they get packed in there so tight that you open the lid on it and you could turn it over and nothing comes out. Not even any juice is seeping out. But if you can just get one, like Ladd's touchdown, and then another, and then another, you know, then they start popping out and pop, 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 pop. That's what we're going for. I think, you know, that's something that we certainly did today. I mean, you know, make the play, but then finish with the ball in the end zone. Or, you know, Justin, you know, makes the big 34-yard run, and then, you know, we finish with points, or we finish in the end zone. You know, J.K. makes those kind of runs. I mean, it's what it takes. I mean, you got to pry those things out of there, and the olives are the touchdowns. I mean, it's both the same, and get them pried out, and then, you know, certainly does a lot for us.
Yeah.
I mean, as he explains it at the end, I start to understand a little bit more, but I just felt like...
I thought the players were the olives.
I thought so too, and then when he said they're touchdowns, he's like, once you unpack the olives, they just boom, 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 fall out. So I think he's saying, like, once you get one touchdown, they just boom, 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 keep coming.
Yes. Yes, when it rains, it pours, is how...
Yeah, he could have just said that. What a weird man. What a weird...
What an interesting man.
Weird man.
Yeah.
I'm going to read a text on the air. I'm sorry, this is a side tangent, but my Bills fan friend has texted me about this Stephon Diggs trade.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
I mean, didn't want that for him, But I guess getting rid of him was the move. Shrug.
So I guess that guy thinks it's success for the Bills.
He thinks it's a great trade for the Bills.
I could tell there was a butt coming from a mile away when he goes, didn't want that for him. Uh-huh. Keep going.
One more time. Nah, didn't want that for him, but glad he left. Laughing emoji. Interesting.
The laughing emoji makes me think he wanted that.
Yeah.
Bills Mafia. A little scumbag to him. A little bit of a scumbag to him.
Of course they're
It's kind of funny that...
Like a good amount.
They
threw sex toys on the field.
One of them spilled wine on me at a bar.
Mm. Wait, was it this person?
The sex toy?
No, this is somebody else. No.
Good clarification also.
You just said one of them.
No, we
said to make sure.
It's kind of funny that among NFL fan bases, Bills fans, who might be the trashiest, are looked at as cute.
They get the lovable trashy because they don't actually win.
Yeah, but it's just like they're... I'm trying to think of like a good... You didn't watch wrestling, right? Really, growing up? Like WWE?
No. All my knowledge is from that Vince McMahon documentary.
Yeah, because like people always love like the dumb guys who just like would do crazy stuff. Like Mick Foley falling off the Hell in the Cell cage, stuff like that. Like that's basically what Bills fans are. We like them because, well, they do stupid things.
They take shots at a bowl.
They take shots at a bowling balls. They jump on a flaming on tables that are on fire. They take their shirts off all the time when it's freezing cold. They lose their fingers sometimes, but they shovel snow.
Yeah, they have the guy who gets sprayed with ketchup and mustard. Yeah. Or you know what it is? It's the kid at the lunch table that you could be like, hey, I'll give you $1 to eat, and then point at any object and they'll eat it. Yeah. They're that kid where it's like, hey, do that.
You put like ketchup in the Mountain Dew and he's like drinking. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I once ate something for $1. It was one single M&M. It was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting.
Were you listening on Friday when you were? Because I know you weren't with us on Friday.
No, I did not listen.
I had a Reese's Great teammate. Cup for the first time.
Yeah.
You had a on air?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
He liked it.
It was pretty good.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't like chocolate, but that M&M was garbage. It wasn't worth $1.
M&M's are overrated.
Was it just a normal M&M?
Just one single M&M, yeah.
See, peanut M&M's
I think
are
peanut
the best.
And knowing the Reese's information, peanut butter M&M's.
Peanut butter M&M's also very good.
Peanut butter M&M's.
But peanut M&M's should be the main M&M because they're the best.
Wait, peanut?
Yeah, peanut, yeah.
I go peanut butter, peanut.
Okay.
Regular.
I go peanut one, peanut butter two.
Okay.
Regular three. Hmm. So what did you do on Halloween when you were a kid?
I just didn't eat the chocolate.
Yeah,
but
there's like the sour gummies.
Yeah,
if I went to places, I generally would do an exchange. I
was gonna say
with trades. My sister. Yeah, yeah. I would trade like double chocolate for a little bit of hers.
Oh, you're getting fleeced.
Well, it made sense. I understood. I understood. No, it was okay.
No, but team needs. He doesn't need the chocolate. He has an abundance of chocolate. Right. He can overpay.
Yeah, so I had to basically. Anyway, it's Galan and George. He's Joe. I'm Paul. We got Sean behind the glass. Let's just roll through. Stephon Diggs tore his ACL. He's out for the rest of the year. And the question that we are asking is if this trade was a failure. I think the reason it's a failure is not due to him getting injured. Because he got injured. You can't predict that happening. It sucks, especially on a non-contact injury. NRG Stadium Field, you thought it was never going to get anybody else. And yet, it got somebody else. Mm. I mean, it's coached by a team. It's coached by a team who had its head coach sue said team for an injury that took place on a different version of that field. D'Amico Ryans
lawsuit watch
did once sue the Houston Texans for their field. Listen, if Stephon Diggs wants to sue the Houston Texans over the field surface, I'd join in. Should I the next media game, like fake an injury and act like I tore my ACL on the rubber turf?
I was going to say, like, what's the
post game? No,
like?
The post game video that you do. Post-game video.
Yeah. There's no waiver for that one. Actually, I'm sure your credential is like the Astros one. Says basically you could die.
Yeah, we could light you on fire. 100%. It doesn't matter.
But I feel like it's not a failure because of the injury and because it's just a one-year rental. I think it's a failure because you were expecting an unrealistic level of the Houston Texans offense this year. You were expecting more than what was ever going to come, and we probably should have learned that. Just going into the year, there were so many articles. You're going to have 3 1,000-yard receivers. It was insane. It really was insane. I remember seeing multiple, and I was just thinking to myself, are you guys five? Do you know how this works? Is Stroud going to throw for 7,000 yards? I mean, they just signed a running back to a 3-year, $28 million deal. They're going to run the football. They ran the football a lot the year before, even when they couldn't run the football. So now they have a good running back. There were weird expectations going into the year. And sure, we definitely were a part of it. We were reading all these reports, and we were excited about the possibilities. But everyone was expecting something.
Greatness.
Just was very unlikely to happen. I think you were looking for the 2007 Patriots with Randy Moss and with Wes Welker figuring out how to use him, with Dante Stallworth, with all sorts of other receivers, and Tom Brady, or the Denver Broncos a couple of years later with Peyton Manning, Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, Julius Thomas. It's hard to do that. And Stephon Diggs trading for him, I think, made a lot of people believe that was bound to happen.
Do you think it flips back the other way now? That without Diggs and a Nico Collins, you know, a player coming back in an injury, Tank Dell not having a lot of success, that now we'll go back to being pleasantly surprised when the offense has a good day?
You're the one that was suggesting trading for Deontay Johnson early.
I don't know if we can fully reset those expectations still.
I don't think.
Because a lot of it's on CJ still. Like you said, like CJ Stroud, even though they added Stephon Diggs, and you're right, asking for 3 1,000-yard wide receivers is insanity, impossible, is never going to happen. Someone wasn't going to get the ball. But at the end of the day, it's still driven by CJ Stroud being the quarterback of this team. So I think it resets the expectations a little bit, but I don't think we can ever go all the way back to where
Man. You kind of already are. You're already like, hey, we got to trade for a receiver.
I think they do need to trade for a wide receiver.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, that means your expectations are lowered already. Yeah.
They're lowered, for sure.
So, I feel like, yeah, you're going to be pleasantly surprised by things the rest of the way. I think you're already there.
What? If Stroud goes...
The problem is I'm not sure I'm actually going to be pleasantly surprised because I'm not sure they...
They deliver?
Yes.
Because it's the offensive line.
It's true.
Jordan Addison, by the way, did you see what he posted on his Instagram story?
No.
#free3.
Oh.
But apparently he does this all the time. It's fine. Jordan Addison, everybody.
Is he talking about Tank Dell?
On a Vikings team that's...
Yes, he's talking about Tank Dell.
What?
Free three.
Yeah, free three.
He had a touchdown.
He's freed now.
Jordan Addison said a photo he posted to Instagram with the caption, free three, has nothing to do with his feelings about the team. By the way, the Vikings are good. Interesting. Addison said on Monday that he's used the phrase since he was at the University of Pittsburgh and showed past social media posts to make that point. People just trying to make something out of anything. It ain't nothing. Addison added, when asked about any issues he's had with how he's being used on offense, 14 catches for 231 yards, I'm straight. Didn't know sexuality had anything to do with it. Interesting. I'm straight?
What else would he say? I'm curved?
It is kind of weird to say, like, I'm straight.
It is something that, like, it was definitely part of the vernacular of me and my friends in high school.
Yes.
And then, like, the second you use it outside of the friend group to someone, you're like, that was a crazy thing I just said to someone at, like, I don't know, Jimmy John's when they asked me about mayo.
Hey, you want mayo on this? I'm straight.
I'm straight.
I mean, look, I'll just say this about Addison as a potential Texans trade target. I just wanted to bring that up really quickly.
Okay, yeah.
Addison should be suspended by the NFL right now, but we're waiting because of a DUI arrest that he had this offseason. Or last offseason, by the way. Things are moving really quickly in the courts. I think this was a 2023 arrest for a DUI. So there's theoretically a possibility where he could be suspended later this year.
Oh.
Like December 14th.
Well, good luck to the Vikings. Hopefully they're 3-3. Unravel.
All right. Free three.
Oh, maybe that's what
literally
he's
free
about.
Three.
Could be that.
He's not talking about football.
I do like him going, I've used it all the time. It's like, have you used it all the time when you have 2 catches for 22 yards? Do you use after every game?
Did you use it when you were the number one wide receiver and won the Biletnikoff Award at Pittsburgh?
But it's like after every bad game he had.
Just USC.
Just to let Kenny Pickett know.
He freed himself.
He was great with Kenny Pickett.
Through the power of NIL. Anyway, Galana George, he's Joe and Paul. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Stephon Diggs trade. Was it a failure after we found out today that Diggs will miss the rest of the year with a torn ACL? That's on the table. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.